This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this, all of My Mochi's fabulous flavors, like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream, are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned, gluten-free mochis that are great for grab-and-go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings or the midnight munchies. Yeah, you know who you are with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car. It's the two-door coupe that was there for your first drive. The hatchback that took you cross-country and back. And the minivan that tackles the weekly carpool. For the cars you couldn't live without, trust Amica Auto Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Tonight, the chilling evidence left behind by the school shooter in St. Louis and a warning from the police that the deadly rampage could have been worse. The new details tonight as we learn the 19-year-old gunman was armed with an AR-15 style rifle and more than 600 rounds of ammunition. CBS's Jeff Begays reports on the disturbing handwritten note found as we learn more about the victims. Show of force. A CBS News exclusive. Chris Livesay goes aboard a U.S. aircraft carrier as American troops participate in a training exercise with NATO, sending a clear message to Putin.
Fighter jets and helicopters to guided missiles, all of them within striking distance of the Russian military.
Adidas drops Kanye West. Weeks after the rapper's anti-Semitic and hateful rant, CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti reports tonight on the rise of crimes against Jewish people. And Health Watch, CBS's Meg Oliver on the triple threat. The nation's top doctors sound the alarm about a possible surge of COVID, flu, and RSV all at the same time.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. Law enforcement is on alert tonight after we learned disturbing new details from the deadly shooting Monday at a high school in St. Louis. Police found a notebook in the gunman's car inside a handwritten note and ultimately a window into his motive. The 19-year-old shooter was a former student. He managed to get inside even though the building was locked with 7 security guards on duty. 2 people were killed, including a 15-year-old student and a teacher who was getting ready to retire. Several others were wounded before the gunman was killed by police. Tonight, the school remains closed and riddled with bullets. The community is in mourning as survivors deal with the trauma. CBS's Jeff Begay is going to lead us off tonight with all this new information, and it is scary and chilling to hear this. Good evening.
It really is, Nora. The St. Louis police commissioner said that shooting could have been so much worse because the gunman entered the school fully loaded. Police say that he had ammunition strapped to his chest, and they even found magazine clips in the stairwells of the school. Police sources say that the evidence collected suggests a high level of pre-planning.
Tonight, police say the gunman was carrying an arsenal that could have caused much more damage and death.
We know now that he had in his possession one rifle, an AR-15 style rifle, a .223 caliber.
Police identified the shooter as 19-year-old Orlando Harris. He was also armed with more than 600 rounds of ammunition.
The threat here is over However, we are going to continue to be vigilant in our schools and in our neighborhoods.
Police identify the two victims as 10th grader Alexandria Bell and 61-year-old gym teacher Jean Kuska. Police say they killed the gunman.
We hear these gunshots and the windows just rattling, and we see people jumping out the windows and stuff.
Authorities say they found a handwritten note in the gunman's car with a list of school shootings across the country, adding that he wanted to be the next national school shooter.
He wrote, quote, "I don't have any friends. I don't have any family. I've never had a girlfriend. I've never had a social life. I've been an isolated loner my entire life. This was the perfect storm for a mass shooter."
Police are urging the public to stay alert to the next potential threat.
So it is really important that if you see someone walking down that path toward violence, whether it's in their writings, they're researching weapons, they're researching other school shootings, that you really speak up and let somebody know so that we can look into this and give them an off-ramp off of that path to violence.
Law enforcement officials are concerned about the potential for copycats, and that's why they are asking the public that if you see something, say something. According to the FBI, in the majority of these cases, people who see signs of trouble before mass shootings, often they don't call police.
So speak up, Jeff Pagaz. Thank you. Well, tonight, a growing number of companies are cutting ties with Kanye West over the hip-hop mogul's offensive and anti-Semitic remarks. Adidas and The Gap weighed in today, knocking him off the list of Forbes billionaires. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti more now on the rapper's deeply hurtful comments and the consequences that followed.
Rapper and designer Kanye West thought he was untouchable. 9 days ago, he said this.
I could say anti-Semitic things and Adidas can't drop me. Now what? Now what?
But today, amid tumbling stocks, the German sneaker giant severed ties with the artist, now known as Ye, saying in a statement it does not tolerate anti-Semitism and any other sort of hate speech, and it will stop all payments to Ye and his companies. West's Yeezy brand once brought Adidas nearly $2 billion in annual sales. Critics say Adidas was putting profit ahead of ethics.
Did Adidas make the right decision here, and was it quick enough?
Adidas made the right decision. I think 3 weeks is way too late. They should have done so within the first day.
Earlier this month, West tweeted he would go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. Instagram and Twitter quickly suspended his accounts. Companies like fashion house Balenciaga, Vogue, The Gap, Foot Locker, and even his talent agency have parted ways. The controversy apparently sparked this anti-Semitic demonstration this past weekend on an overpass in Los Angeles.
It just takes one deranged person of his 31 million followers on Twitter, or again, his hundreds of millions of fans around the world, to say, if the Jews are out to get Kanye, I'm going to get them.
Tonight, there's a harsh new spotlight on brands and the real cost of staying silent.
And the Anti-Defamation League says anti-Semitic incidents are up 40% this year compared to this time last year. Meanwhile, the Holocaust Museum here in Los Angeles has invited West for a private tour. Nora, he turned down that offer.
Jonathan, thank you. And we should know we condemn anti-Semitism. We stand with our Jewish colleagues and Jewish people everywhere. A magnitude 5.1 earthquake shook the San Francisco Bay Area today. It was the strongest they've seen in 8 years. It was centered in the hills east of San Jose, about 40 miles southeast of downtown San Francisco. There are no reports of any serious injuries or damage. Tonight, children's hospitals across the country are seeing a surge in an illness that makes it hard for kids to breathe. Nationwide, RSV cases are up 143% since last month. And that is now adding to concern tonight about a triple threat of viruses sweeping the United States very early. CBS's Meg Oliver reports on how to keep your family safe.
Can you spell your last name for me?
COVID-19, the flu, and RSV already causing severe illness ahead of normal peaks.
We're here with a simple message. Get vaccinated.
Today, the White House sounding the alarm for everyone over five to get a flu and COVID vaccine.
The thing that we always are paying attention to is making sure there's plenty of hospital capacity. So right now, our focus is get people vaccinated, get people treated, and keep people out of the hospital.
Walgreens reports flu cases have doubled over the past 2 weeks and are spreading at a high rate across the South. This is the CDC reports 3 million fewer flu shots than at this time last year.
What are you concerned about?
I think with the combined RSV, flu, a potential COVID surge, I think children's hospitals and pediatrics in general are going to experience a lot of what the adult hospitals experienced in March and April of 2020 when COVID first hit.
In New Jersey, COVID hospitalizations are up slightly compared to last week, and RSV cases are rising across the country.
I was worried, and I also knew that the hospital was the only place that she would get the support she needed.
Sarah Kornblit rushed her 4-year-old daughter to the hospital on Sunday with RSV.
How bad do the symptoms get?
She started having fevers a few days after she started getting sick. And then on Thursday afternoon, her oxygen started going down.
Right after our interview, Sarah's daughter was taken off oxygen and allowed to go home. While there's no vaccine for RSV, Dr. Slavin says October is the month to get your flu shot to protect you through March, typically the end of flu season. Nora?
Good information, Meg. I'm going to get my flu shot tomorrow. Thank you. Well, American basketball star Brittany Griner suffered a major setback today in her battle for freedom from a Russian jail. A court outside Moscow rejected the 2-time Olympic champion's appeal, upholding her 9-year sentence on drug charges. CBS's Weijia Jiang asked President Biden today about his next move.
I want to also apologize for this mistake.
Appearing from her jail cell in a live video, Brittany Griner pleaded with a Russian appeals court to reconsider her prison sentence.
I've been here almost 8 months, and people with more severe crimes have gotten less than what I was given.
The WNBA star told a 3-judge panel that her time behind bars has already taken a toll.
It's been a very, very stressful and very traumatic to my mental and psyche, being away from my family.
Griner will now be sent to a penal colony, a type of labor camp known for brutal conditions.
What is your next move now that Brittany Griner wants her appeal, Mr. President?
We're in constant contact with Russian authorities to get Brittany and others out. And so far, we've not been meeting with much positive response. But we're not stopping.
Over the summer, the Biden administration proposed a prisoner swap, possibly involving Russian arms dealer Victor Boot in exchange for Griner and another American, Paul Whelan. But Kremlin officials would not discuss a deal until the judicial process played out. Griner was arrested at a Moscow airport for carrying vape cartridges filled with hashish oil just days before Russia invaded Ukraine. Griner's wife, Sherelle, told Gail King the thought of BG, as she calls her, going to a labor camp is hard to stomach.
Me and BG are operating in a position where, like, we have to prepare for the worst.
President Biden has said he would meet with Vladimir Putin next month at the G20 summit in Indonesia if Putin approached him to talk about Griner's release. Tonight, the White House says there are no plans for the two leaders to meet. Nora? Weijia Jiang at the White House, thank you. And as if the tension between Washington and Moscow isn't high enough, today Russia notified the U.S. that it's begun its annual nuclear drills that include the launch of missiles. And this comes as NATO is conducting its own military drills. Tonight, CBS's Chris Livesay reports exclusively from on board a U.S. aircraft carrier taking part in those drills in the Mediterranean Sea.
A heart-thumping show of force. Aboard one of the world's biggest warships, the USS H.W. Bush. We fly at dawn from the southern coast of Italy to join the aircraft carrier and more than 80 Allied aircraft in international waters for NATO training. All set against the backdrop of Russia's war in Ukraine and Vladimir Putin's repeated threats to fire nuclear weapons. The Secretary General of NATO has come aboard with a warning.
There will be severe consequences. It will be absolutely wrong if I went into the exact way we will react, but Russia knows that there will be severe consequences.
For now, NATO says its best weapon is deterrence. with an overwhelming display of firepower, from fighter jets and helicopters to unparalleled surveillance, all within striking distance of the Russian military, with tensions in the region at a fever pitch.
This may only be combat training, but if called upon, these fighters say they're ready to strike.
You're the Secretary General of NATO aboard a U.S. aircraft carrier. Are you poking the bear?
It's even more important that we send a clear message that we are there to defend all allies, because that's the best way to prevent an attack and preserve peace.
Now, today's drills were planned before the invasion. And tonight, President Biden is once again warning Vladimir Putin not to use a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine, saying it would be an incredibly serious mistake. Nora.
Chris Livesay, thank you. Tonight, there is a high-stakes face-off in one of the nation's most closely watched midterm election races. That's the Senate race in Pennsylvania. A new CBS News Battleground tracker out today shows it's a toss-up, with Democrat John Fetterman just 2 points ahead of Republican Mehmet Oz. CBS's Robert Costa is in Harrisburg for the candidates' only debate as America decides.
Tonight, a showdown between the TV doctor and the sweatshirt-wearing lieutenant governor. Voters here in Pennsylvania, according to the latest CBS News poll, want answers on the economy.
Who wants to pay $4 for gas?
Plus, gas prices, crime, and abortion rights. Another issue hovers.
I think that people are wondering, you know, can he handle the job?
It is what Democrat John Fetterman, who suffered a stroke in May, has described as the elephant in the room, his health.
And despite all that, I survived to be back. And that makes I'm going to fight for you all because I'm back out on the trial.
Fetterman will use a closed captioning device, which he's used in interviews while on stage with Republican Mehmet Oz. Two 70-inch monitors will sit above the moderators, with the questions typed out by stenographers and displayed. The same will be done for Dr. Oz's answers.
I have tremendous compassion for what John Fetterman is going through. I've conceded on everything possible to make sure that he's able to participate in this debate. It's the only one he would agree to. He's got closed captioning, whatever he needs.
Fetterman's primary care doctor said the stroke left him with auditory processing issues, which hinder his ability to interpret sounds.
There's no secret that sometimes I'm going to miss words, and sometimes I'm going to mush two words together, and that's the truth.
In a pre-debate memo, Fetterman's campaign set expectations, writing, if we're all being honest, Oz, a longtime TV personality, clearly comes into Tuesday night with a huge built-in advantage.
Tomorrow, Dr. Oz will hit the campaign trail with Nikki Haley, the former Trump administration diplomat. And on Friday, Fetterman will welcome back President Biden to Pennsylvania. Nora.
Robert Costa at the set of the debate. Thank you. Well, tonight we continue our coverage of Breast Cancer Awareness Month with a look at a glaring racial disparity. Black women are far more likely to die of breast cancer than white women. In tonight's Health Watch, CBS's Elise Preston on what can be done to eliminate this gap.
Spending time with her beloved dog comforts Latoya Williams, who's had a long journey after finding a lump in her breast.
I was actually misdiagnosed at the age of 29 and accurately diagnosed at the age of 30, only because I was not taken serious.
Williams, now 45, says doctors ignored her concerns and delayed treatment for 6 months while the lump in her breast grew.
What does it feel like when you don't trust the doctors who are providing care?
I felt like I was at the mercy of the health system and that I did not have a voice, and I just have to kind of go with this and just hope that I live.
Breast cancer is the leading cause of cancer death for black women, who are 41% more likely to die than white women, in part due to higher rates of obesity and other health disparities.
It's still a public health problem.
Dr. Kathy Ann Joseph works to tackle health inequities impacting women of color.
What barriers do black women face?
They're structural barriers. Whether it's access to care. Not all care is equal. Your zip code is really going to dictate your ultimate outcomes.
Black women are also more likely to be diagnosed at a younger age in comparison to white women, and with triple negative breast cancer, a more aggressive subtype. In a new study, Dr. Joseph argues that black women should undergo a breast cancer assessment risk by age 25.
If you start screening at 50, you're missing the boat on black women.
As a survivor, LaToya Williams now works with the American Cancer Society to improve health outcomes for Black women.
Don't be afraid to speak up, and if you don't have a good rapport with your doctor, it's okay to shop around for a new one.
Now, Dr. Joseph recommends that women who feel they are not being heard by their doctors go get a second, third, or even fourth opinion with a breast specialist. And because of significant underrepresentation in clinical trials, there is now a push to include more Black women. That could improve outcomes. Nora?
Elise Preston with such good information. Thank you so much. Well, a group of tourists got stuck for about 30 hours at the bottom of Grand Canyon Caverns. We're going to tell you how it all ended when we return.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move, or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. Sound the gifting panic alarm. We've all been there. You need to find the perfect gift. You have absolutely zero ideas and you don't know where to start. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. Just answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and Gift Mode gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Imagine pages of artisan espresso mugs for the coffee connoisseur in your life. Or for the pickleballer, customized paddle covers in every shade imaginable. Etsy's got you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
A group of Grand Canyon tourists is sharing a terrifying story tonight after they were stranded about 200 feet underground for about 30 hours. They got stuck inside the caverns on Sunday when the tourist attraction's only elevator broke down. We can report everyone's okay. A special honor unveiled for the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That story's still ahead. We learned today that former Defense Secretary Ashton Carter died of a heart attack. A Rhodes Scholar and physicist by training, Carter oversaw the opening of combat roles to women during his tenure in the Obama administration. Ash Carter was 68. And we'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We wanted to end tonight with a new honor for the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The U.S. Postal Service unveiled a forever postage stamp that will be available next year. The portrait shows Ginsburg in a black robe with her trademark intricate white collar. The post office calls Ginsburg an icon of American culture. We agree. And that's tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. We'll see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert.
And I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert. And I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
And how long have you been the producer of this?
We've been doing this for 2 years now.
Okay. And what is it like to attempt to get feedback from me about the podcast? Be honest about how quickly I respond to emails.
You actually respond to emails surprisingly fast.
Really? I think you might be the only person I respond to. Respond too quickly. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I expect you to lay into me.
Well, this was over the strike period.
Oh, I had time.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't count. Sure, I responded to everything because responding to you putting reruns up on the podcast was like a form of employment.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had something to get up for every day. So thank you for that. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene...
There were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.